Hello and welcome again to the Body Talk podcast. I'm Alina Jenkins and we created this series to help as many of you as possible with your communication skills, whether that's in your personal or in your business life. And one of the frustrations that some of our clients share with us is they say, people don't always listen to my ideas, or maybe they listen but don't take any action, or they listen and completely forget what it is that's been said. So great ideas can perhaps fall flat. One of the key parts of good communication is around storytelling, the ability to tell stories. We've been doing it for thousands of years. Some of us are really good at it. For others, it's a challenge, particularly in business. But get it right and you have the power to engage and connect with an audience. And we're so excited to welcome to this episode of the podcast, perhaps the master of storytelling, because he's been lecturing in it for over 30 years. Many of his former students have gone on to become Academy Award and Emmy winners. Think Forrest Gump and Erin Brockovich. And his book Story has long been considered the screenwriter's Bible. He followed that up with Dialogue, and the long-awaited third episode in the trilogy, Character, is out this month. I am, of course, talking about Robert McKee, and he joins me now. Hello, Robert.
Hello. Hi. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good. Thank you. And we're so excited to have you on the podcast. Let's start with the book and perhaps try and understand broadly why the idea of character is so important in storytelling.
It's the other half of a story in the creative mind. I mean, they're just two sides of the same coin. And so a story is events. You know, something happens. And things change, and then things move from negative to positive or positive to negative because someone took an action and the world reacted to them and they dealt with it. Excuse me. And so you can't separate them, because an event without a character is you know, like lightning striking the ground. It's meaningless, but lightning striking a person has great meaning. And so stories are what characters do, and characters are the actions they take that create the stories. And so they are two sides of the same coin, but they can't be divorced from one another. So your ability to tell a story is rooted in your understanding of human nature, your understanding of how under pressure people act and react, and certainly your understanding of desire. What do people want? And that's a big question. And in business, of course, you really, that's the first thought, is what do people want? And and hopefully they want what you have to offer. And so you create a story in order to dramatize how your client, your customer, thinks, and what's missing in their life that you're going to provide, and what's missing in their life, you've got to create their want. You got to create a circumstance where they want what you have and can't quite get it. And so something is stopping them from getting what they want that you have that would fulfill their desire. And then that character then makes a choice and takes an action in the face of that antagonism. And they achieve what they want. And their life is improved by your service or your desire. And so a story for business is a compact, very small, simple, but hopefully very effective movement from negative to positive, from people having a problem that needs solution, having a need that needs fulfillment, and they take an action, the world reacts somehow against them, but then they struggle through that and they see what they need to do to get what they want, and they do. and they make the purchase, they hire the service to solve their need or their problem. It's a simple form. It's very, generally very brief, but hard to write. Really hard to write. I mean, I could explain it in those simple terms, but creating a setting and then creating a character. A character who needs what you provide and takes an action that doesn't get them what they want, creates a little conflict, or severe conflict for that matter, but then you solve the problem. And so it's a simple form, but it takes great imagination and insight into the world and psychology to make that form come to life.
And you're so right with insight, Robert. I think particularly in business, people can get this wrong. They go in with the idea of what is it that I want to say? And as soon as you do that, you put yourself at an enormous disadvantage. So as you were saying earlier, you really need to put yourself in the shoes of the audience. Think, what keeps them awake at night? What's their pain? What is their pleasure? Where is it that they want to get to? And that really, I suppose, is the essence of storytelling. And I wonder as well, this is where businesses struggle, because they might think, well, what is my story?
Well, they struggle for a lot of reasons. One is that the whole history of advertising is a history of bragging and promising. Bragging. We're the biggest, we're the best, we're the new, we're the shiniest, and promising. We'll do this for you, we'll do that, and you'll be happy and thrilled with it. And so they brag and they promise and they think that that's persuasive. And it may have been in the previous century, but young people today find bragging and promising really annoying and tedious and virtually laughable. And so when you put that kind of display in front of millennials or Generation Zs, they turn off. They just laugh and sneer, okay, because they've seen it all. What they want from you is to hook their interest with a good story, with a problem, with a negative situation that's going to turn positive. And this is the second thing that business people have difficulty with: the notion that you have to have a negative floor. That this character lacks what they want. They have a problem in life. It's negative. Because in a story, if you go from positive to positive to positive to positive, bragging, 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 no one listens. And so in a story, you've got to move from negative to positive. And then people go, oh. And they're paying attention. But there's such aversion in the business world to anything negative. And they teach you this in biz ed school. You'll never, ever allow negativity of any kind to invade the atmosphere around your product. Tradition says, brag and promise, and then you follow tradition. And biz ad professors tell you avoid the negative, and so they do. And having those two problems, I mean, it's very hard sometimes to get the business mind around to thinking in story. But then you look at the great success that, say, Apple Computer, and the Apple company tells great stories, always has, and always moves from negative to positive, and the solution is an Apple product. And they're brilliant storytellers. And so when you look at the best of them, you see that they master story, and they're not afraid, they're not bragging, they're not promising, they're dramatizing. And they're not afraid of the negative because they know it's going to turn positive. And that'll put a bright light around their product or their service. But as I said, it's difficult for many people to get past those two things, tradition and the aversion to anything negative. So I teach this, you know, but I also know there's another problem. There's a third problem, actually. Bragging is easy. Doesn't take any creativity to find adjectives that say, you know, brilliant, great, wonderful, you'll love it, blah, blah. Okay? Bragging is easy. Storytelling takes imagination. And therefore, it's not easy. It's a creative thing. And not that there aren't creative ways to brag. Advertising agencies invent ingenious ways to brag. Okay? So that's certainly got some creativity. But it's easy compared to life. When you tell stories, you're mirroring life. And so it takes some wherewithal. And so what a business should do, I would think, is find those people that can do this. You know, hire writers, hire imaginative people, and examine the client, and ask that question: what does this client's life lack? What do these people need? I mean, this is not new. and then create what is it? Is to create a story that addresses that and dramatizes the need and its solution. And so I would just urge business people to look for and seek out talented people and bring them into the marketing or advertising agencies, certainly. And find that talent, because it takes a bit of originality and genius to sort this and to create this, and a lot of trial and error, a lot of experimentation. So it's difficult, but the good ones do it.
I wonder sometimes in business if there is a suspicion around storytelling because they see it as perhaps manipulation or exaggerating, just saying there about bragging. So how do you overcome that idea that storytelling is not about manipulation?
I understand, but that's so naive. You mean to think that bragging and promising is not manipulation? I mean, of course you're manipulating people. I mean, that's the nature of it, you know? And what's more, if you think people want to be manipulated, People go to the movies. People read, pick up books. People go to the theater, and people go out and they go to the concerts. They go to artists of all kinds, opening themselves up and saying, "Manipulate me. Take me to a place I've never been before. Make me cry. Make me laugh. Excite me. Manipulate me. Take me out of my life to a place I've never been before. Manipulate me." I mean, and so the notion that storytelling is manipulation, I mean, it just, it is. It is, of course. But it's a voluntary manipulation. People go to the storyteller, please don't bore me. Please give me something new, give me something interesting. Just don't bore me, but manipulate me. Thank you, please. And so that's childish. But there is a negative tone that surrounds the notion of storytelling, and that's, if I may, bullshit. Stories are, lie. I mean, they lie by nature. They're a fiction, okay? And bullshitting, lying, is an aversion to that naturally in business. You don't want to be known as a liar. But bragging and promising is just another kind of lying. So it's true that it's fictional. Bragging exaggerates. When a company says, we are special, we are unique, well, that's a lie. You got a lot of competitors, they make a product or service very much like yours, and yours is marginally better, you hope. And so There's always that. There's a line somewhere between telling a story that moves people to make a purchase, and promising implicitly in the story that the service or the product will do more than in fact it can. Okay, that's a lie. And so there's a line where you can't induce people to buy things and the product does not perform. So that's for sure. But fiction is fiction. The audience knows it's a metaphor. The audience knows it's not life. It's a metaphor for life. It's like me. It's like the problem I have. It's as if, right? And so they know perfectly well that it's fiction. And fiction is a lie in service of the truth. And so we fictionalize life in order to get to the essence of it. And so the notion that equating fiction with lying is childish. Fiction is a metaphor for life. We're not dealing with factuality. We're dealing with truth. And this is difficult for people in business to understand the difference between fact and truth. Facts are not the truth. Facts are facts. Fact is perfectly neutral. The fact that something happens has no meaning. It just is, until somebody interprets that and extracts from it a truth. And so we have a fact in the world, for example, of homelessness. Okay, that's a fact. Now, what's the meaning of that? Why? How and why do we have homelessness? Some people will say it's the homeless person's fault. Some people will say it's society's indifference and fault. The fact of homelessness is neutral. The interpretation of the hows and the whys is the truth of it. And there's truth in one direction, truth in the opposite direction. And you have to, feel your way to what do you believe is true. And so fiction in business tells a story in service of the truth to move people to purchase, to employ your company. And understanding the difference, thinking that because it's a story, it's bullshit, it's nonsense. Because it's a story, if it's well told, it's expressing a truth. This product, this service will enhance your life. But it's treacherous territory for people in business because, you could screw up. But if you brag and promise like everybody else, and you do it at scale, then it'll have an effect, and hopefully a positive effect. But again, I point out the really brilliant corporations in this world know how to tell a story, and there's a lot of research. The Havas analytical company has shown that storytelling is twice as effective in business as bragging. Double, and a well done storytelling creates in the audience, in the customer's mind, this company enhances my life. And that's branding. The feeling that this company enhances my life. That is the key to branding. And storytelling that convinces people that this brand enhances my life doubles the sales.
It's such an important transition in the storytelling journey, from describing that challenge from the audience's perspective and then moving forward to that better future, as you were just describing. How do I enhance your life? What I sometimes find is that people miss that bit out. So they describe the challenge, but then jump straight to the solution. So how much emphasis do you think you need to put on that better future before moving on with the rest of the storytelling journey?
But the first step is to identify need. You really, and you can't assume these things. It takes research and a lot of thought to, before you can tell a story, you have to figure out, you know, what problems does this story solve in people's lives? Therefore, you have to dig into your clients, your customers' lives and figure out what they need. For example, some years ago, the Dove brand did research, and their advertising agency did the research, and they discovered around the world that only 2% of all women thought that they were attractive. Only one woman in 50 considers herself attractive. It was shocking. And so they discovered a need, you know, the need for self, for appreciation of yourself physically, and in every way, I would imagine, but certainly the need for self-appreciation is out there in 49 out of 50 women. So they created a great advertising series where they dramatized, they told stories of, about women, and they did it in an ingenious way that they had women verbally describe themselves to a sketch artist. And he did a sketch based on what they think they look like. And then they had people who knew the woman describe her and what other people think. And they show you, they showed the woman the two pictures, what she thinks of herself versus what other people think of her. And they were stunned to discover that other people find them far more attractive than they do because they're so self-critical. And then the logo came up. It just said Dove. Didn't say Dove will do this for you, Dove will make you beautiful, Dove will give you self-assurance, none of that. It just said Dove understands. and it encourages you, you know, Dove wants you to feel better about yourself. Dove understands. And that positive association sent Dove sales through the roof. So that's a brilliant piece of research. And then they came up with this equally brilliant storified solution that saved them. They were, Dove was disappearing from the shelves until they came up with that that campaign. So and so the step is, you know, fine, I want to tell a story, but what story is determined by what you understand the customer needs and wants. And much of it is subconscious. If you ask people what they need and want, if you did a survey like that, just ask people, they'll give you all kinds of answers. Which may or may not be true. I mean, it's what they think they want. But I don't know how many women in the world, if you ask them, do you need self-assurance, self-appreciation? They'd say, no, I'm fine. So, at any rate, that's the big step, to tell a story. And, you know, and in relationship to the work I've done recently on my new book and character, treating your customer, your client, thinking them as character. In the story you're going to tell, I think it's very useful because the key to a character is an interesting character is contradiction. They have a dimension. So, for example, if you asked a woman, "Do you appreciate yourself?" she would say yes, and she thinks she has self-assurance, right? But a little psychology come to understand, in fact, she spends a lot of time in front of a mirror, hypercritical of every little flaw, right? And so that's a dimension. She thinks she appreciates herself, she's hypercritical of herself. When you understand character, as opposed to just psychology, which is, but when you think of psychology in terms of character, the key is dimension. And a dimension is a contradiction within the nature of a character. And it's very complex. There's a great variety of different ways in which human beings can be at war within themselves or contradicting themselves and dimensionalizing themselves. And so it's a mistake to think of your client as a type. The type of person who buys what I sell, who hires my service, a type. In fact, you should think of your client or customer as a, in character terms, as someone with contradictions in their nature, because you're going to play upon that contradiction in order to take them from the negative to the positive, thinking in terms of storytelling and thinking in terms of character in the story, the character is a complex human being with dimensions built around contradiction. And that's a big step. Because most people in business want to think of people that there's as types. Certain, you know, and they do a demographic study. And the demographic study flattens people out. They're a certain age, certain education, certain neighborhood, blah, blah, blah. Just flattens people out, makes a list of traits. A really sophisticated mind understands that behind that set of traits is a human being who's a living contradiction. They think they want one thing when they really want another. And recognizing that dynamic in human beings takes your understanding of your client to a much deeper level. And it gives you a way to talk to them. Because you understand they aren't just the same person. They aren't just a cardboard drawing. And inside of them is a living conflict. And it's, you know, the roots of it are often subconscious. They don't know what they really, but the salesperson does. Salesperson knows what they, you know, what they really want, even though they don't consciously know that yet. So thinking in terms of character dimension, thinking in terms of character need and desire, those are two huge first steps before, and that helps tell you what story would work given this kind of person and this kind of need or desire. The difference is a fiction writer explores life. They don't know where they're going. They don't care to know. They don't want to know, in fact. They want to use their subconscious to invent and discover characters and discover their story and world, not in business. in business, you got to know where you're going. You got to know who you're talking to, what they want, and what dynamic is alive within these people that can be moved in one direction or another. And so you start in business, you start at the end. In fiction, you just start wherever you're starting. But in business, you have to start with a target. You have to know who those people are, what they need or want, and what dynamics, contradictions are living within them. And with a clear understanding of that sort, then you can begin to design a story that will move them to hire you, purchase you.
So you wrote story first, but what I'm wondering now is perhaps we actually start with character, understand who the characters are, and then maybe develop the story from there.
Yes. I've always intended from the beginning to create a trilogy. In a couple years or so, I'm going to rewrite story. I'm going to do a whole new book. And story two will be a whole new way of looking at story. And then, so the story two and character and dialogue will create what I'm going to call the writer's trilogy. But it's always been in my mind that I've always, you know, and I teach, you know, in the book on story, I teach, you know, the story and character are two sides of the same coin, but I only develop one side of the coin in story. And so now I've written character as the other side. And dialogue, of course, is what people say and do. So, in a year or two, probably two, the writer's trilogy will be complete. It was story itself is such a rich mine to dig into that I had to artificially make a separation between story and character, give them each their own book, because it's two different ways of thinking, and what people really wanted, decades ago, was to know story, and so that's what I did, but in the meantime, I was gathering all the material for the other side of the coin. So now I've done that, and then I'm going to bring story up to date. No, it's more than updating it. I found out after 25 years, the story is 25 years old, I've learned a lot. And so the book on story is going to be a whole new, I hope, very insightful presentation of how to think story in a way that I've developed over the last couple decades or so. So that'll be the final. I'll keep writing other stuff, but those three books will be, I would hope, the foundation for writers when they start working and have problems and can't get lost in their own work, they could open a book and give them some guidance. Because nothing I write tells you how. The book on character is not how to create a character. Nothing I write is a how to do anything. What I write is what. What is a character? Okay? What is a story? And what is a verbal action, dialogue? You know, it's all what's. The writer has to figure out.
Robert, you've given us so much insight. And what's fascinating is how easily the world of storytelling and screenwriting translates into business.
The business does it in a really compact way. And you know what? It's harder. Because when you have time, right? But when you have to do it in 1 minute, 30 seconds, you know, an article in a piece on your website. Here's a good question. We could end with this. Ask your business clients, when someone goes online and they type in the name of your company and there up comes your website, what's the first thing they see? The very first thing. 99 times out of 100, it's the logo. Wouldn't it be interesting if the first thing they saw was an opening to a story that they found really interesting, a problem and a solution that they found really interesting that ended with the logo? Just a thought.
It's a good thought to end on. Robert, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real treat to speak with you. Your book Character is out this month, and if we can help you with your business storytelling, please do head to our website, ukbodytalk.com. Until next time, goodbye.